You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
In the lead-up to the Beyond the Visual exhibition of contemporary sculpture designed to be experienced using multiple senses that move beyond the visual at the Henry Moore Institute in Leeds from the 28th of November 2025 to the 19th of April 2026. Here on RNIB Connect Radio, we are catching up with some of the commissioned artists whose work feature in the exhibition. I'm delighted to say that I am now joined by Feyen Devi, a blind-ish artist, writer, publisher, and lecturer in communication design at the RMIT University in Australia. Hello, Feyen, and thanks for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks very much, Toby. I'm very happy to be with you.
Firstly, Feyen, do tell me a bit about your background as an artist, writer, publisher, lecturer, and much more besides, as well as maybe a bit of an overview of your work too.
Sure. Well, I actually came late to making art. I had a previous career working in peacebuilding education. And during my 30s, I went back to art school. And while I was there, I had some sudden changes in my vision. I had always been low vision, but this led me to start to think about what it might be to practice as an artist who was approaching blindness. And from that point onwards, which was around about 2012, I started to engage with making tactile paintings. And then I had my first public exhibition around about 2015, where I was thinking about blindness and assumptions of visual value in the arts. And I made an architecture of tactile paintings and wrote some short stories and performed them with actors from the Theatre of the Blind. And that was really the beginning of an exploration that took me to San Francisco, where I met Georgina Kleege, who is actually a collaborator in the work that is going to be at the Henry Moore Institute. And over the past decade, together with Georgina and other collaborators, we've really explored blindness in all kinds of ways, not only what this can bring to sensory encounters with artworks, but also tactile prints. I've made large-scale installations, tactile architectures, tactile artist books. I've also made a stage play that engaged with an episode of audio description history related to an amateur Star Trek fan club in San Francisco. So I've really moved in all kinds of ways and really exploring the poetic potential of audio description and all kinds of other methods that can come from blindness.
And for the Beyond the Visual exhibition at the Henry Moore Institute, as you say, you have worked with fellow artists Hilary Goldell and Fiona Kleesch in collaboration with sound designer Brian Phillips on a immersive installation called Wayfinder. Do tell me a little bit about the piece and how it all came together.
Well, actually, the piece is called Wayfinding Sequence, and it relates to an encounter in San Francisco at SF MoMA. I had a residency at SF MoMA with Georgina Kleege for a few years, and we worked with curators, conservators, and others at the gallery to try and understand how they could encourage sensory encounters with artworks. One of the artworks that they gave us access to was a monumental sculpture by Richard Serra, and it was called Sequence. And we had incredible luxury to be able to work at the museum both when the public was there and also on a Wednesday when it was closed to the public. And on one of these Wednesdays, we were allowed to wrap Georgina's cane with a special material, and she was able to wayfind sequence using her cane to trace along the walls. And this is a sculpture which is quite disconcerting to experience. Even as a sighted person, it's hard to see or navigate. And there are rooms that are shaped in concentric circles in such a way that it can become very confusing as to where you are. And so Georgina attempted to wayfind sequence while we recorded her speaking out left, right, moving around the sculpture and trying to really understand the sculpture through blind navigation. At the same time, sound artist Brian Phillips, who was with us, he placed contact mics on the sculpture. And so we were really listening to Georgina through the sculpture. But one of the remarkable things about this monumental sculpture is that inside SF MoMA, it was a sculpture that could not be touched. But prior to being at SF MoMA, the sculpture had been installed on an outdoor concrete area at Stanford University, where it was exposed to the elements and so on. And so we thought it would be interesting to take Georgina to Stanford and to find out whether, based on her wayfinding of sequence in the museum, was she able to recall that choreography back where sequence used to be? So really it's a work about wayfinding presence and absence. When we were at Stanford, Georgina could reach down and feel in the concrete some depressions that were formed by the weight of the sculpture, but it was very difficult to locate. And one of the reasons it was so difficult to locate was because there were other sculptures in that place and they had chains around them, which were trying to dissuade people from encountering them by touch. So for the work at Henry Moore, we have two very large scale videos that really place you at the scale of Georgina within the sculpture. One of them is based at SF MoMA, and the other one is these textures and a sense of being at Stanford and trying to find your way. And as well as that, we have a four-channel audio description. We have a new essay by Georgina, remembering in a fragmented way what it was like to be there and try and recall. And we have two ekphrastic or poetic audio descriptions describing each of the films. And as well, we have the original sound work that we made many years ago at SF MoMA, where the sculptor is listening to Georgina wayfinding.
Sounds fantastic. And obviously the Beyond the Visual exhibition at the Henry Moore Institute is obviously a fully accessible exhibition for everyone. And along with everything else, the audio descriptions and being able to touch, you know, it is incredibly accessible for us all as blind and partially sighted people. But I wondered what things are like in Australia for blind and partially sighted people visiting museums and galleries. What's the sort of situation like out with you?
I think that it's quite similar probably to the UK, certainly US and some parts of Europe where I've shown, where in the majority of museums, touch tours are still something that might happen occasionally with just some sculptures. And I find that is the case here in Australia. I have the luxury that often the kinds of works that I am developing now are for solo exhibitions or solo commissions. And because of that, I can invite others into encountering my artworks and really explore access-led practice. So what are the ways that we can think about sensory translations, especially between blind and deaf audiences, catalyzing conversations between and among us. And part of that means also having an interest in captioning practice for deaf and hard of hearing audiences, thinking about what are all the ways that bodies can come into relation with artworks beyond just a distant spectator's vision. So I think that on the whole, on the majority of galleries here, I would say they have a long way to go in terms of thinking about more than the visual. However, I also have an initiative with a collaborator of mine, John Chia, called the Access Lab and Library. And we work with a variety of different institutions, including museums and galleries, who are interested in taking a more ambitious and imaginative and critical approach to access. So there are some very exciting projects we've been working on and that we will be working on, which is allowing museums to reimagine what access could mean in terms of expanding the sense of welcome of audiences and expanding a sense of generosity to audiences in the ways that you can be part of that community, be part of exhibitions and exhibition making, and be part of the conversation around exhibitions.
Fenn, what works best for you around access when you are visiting museums and galleries? Do you like to sort of explore the work on display through touch as well as description?
Well, again, I feel like I'm in a situation where I am fortunate because often when I am exploring an artwork or collection, it's coming about because of my relationships with museum or curators. And so I tend to have more liberty to think of ways that we can engage with these artworks. I do find it often very disappointing if I go to a show that I'm not involved in, because I prefer to engage by touch, by description, by listening, by moving my body in different ways in and around artworks. And often that's not possible. And I guess over time I've ended up self-selecting. So I do tend to engage most extensively with either my own exhibitions or those of my collaborators, because these are spaces in which I can perhaps more reliably know that access considerations will not lead to a lesser experience of the artworks, but can open up new readings, new forms of distribution and dissemination, new ideas around artworks.
And I think sometimes, you know, as well as us all as visually impaired people and for sighted people as well, we maybe don't take enough time when we're visiting a museum or gallery to fully sort of, I suppose, get immersed in the work that's on display. Certainly for big exhibitions, you know, when you go in, you're on a sort of almost like a conveyor belt. You get a few seconds in front of a work of art and then moving on to the next one. Do you think that we should probably take a lot more time to sort of, I suppose, get immersed in the art that's on display and take more time to experience it, whether that's through vision or whether that's through touch or sound or description?
It's a really interesting question. I think that the conveyor belt approach, sometimes that might be what you want. You might want to go to a museum or art gallery and just get a general sense or a general impression of a place. You may want to get a general sense even of the architecture of a place or how works are installed, what they sound like together. But I think in terms of specific works, they almost call for different kinds of engagement, including different kinds of time. Maybe there are works that we might visit on repeat. We might visit daily or we might visit weekly. There might be works that you actually want to sit with for some time, some hours. And so I really think it depends on the kinds of work, and it really involves having more opportunities to allow the work to call to us about the ways that we might bring our attention to that work. I think it is really interesting that coming from disability, we have a lot of concepts and theories and practices about crypt time. And what that can do is really challenge the protocols of time in a gallery, the fact that it has specific opening hours or specific months that an exhibition is on display. For example, through crypt time, we could ask to engage with artworks that are in storage in a museum's collection, but actually not on display. We could ask to go in after hours, like I said, at SF MoMA, when the museum's closed to the public. There are all kinds of ways in which we can find these spaces that are outside the regular metronomic time and protocols of a museum that might allow us to really come closer to what an artwork might be saying to us, calling to us.
Definitely. Then, if people would like to find out more about you and your work, where can they go to find out more? And are you also out there on social media where people can follow you too?
I have to say, I am using social media less and less because I'm finding all of the AI implications to be quite complex and confusing. So I am on Instagram, which is FKXDE, even though I don't tend to use it that much. I also have a website, fayendv.com, which, like many artists, is rather out of date or perpetually out of date because there's always new projects. I would say, really, to be honest, the easiest way to follow or find out about what I'm doing is simply to do a web search, and each of the institutions or projects that I'm involved in tends to have their own marketing arms that gets that information out into the world. I do publish and write, and so another way that you might find out about what I'm doing, at least in retrospect, is to read some of the articles and essays and chapters that I've written in recent times. These are writings around blindness as the liberation of curatorial practice, what access-led practice can bring to museums, topics like this. And I would really love to be in dialogue with anybody who comes across my work and is interested to know more.
Great stuff. Well, to find out more about the Beyond the Visual exhibition at the Henry Moore Institute, including Fayen's commissioned work and all of the other artists' work that will be on display from the 28th of November 2025 to the 19th of April 2026, do visit henry-moore.org/what's-on/beyond-v-visual. And Moore, of course, is spelt M-O-O-R-E. So that website address again is henry-moore.org/what's-on/beyond-v-visual. Well, thank you very much indeed, Fayen, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio and telling me more about your commissioned collaborative work, which will be on display at the Beyond the Visual exhibition at the Henry Moore Institute.
Thank you, Toby, for the invitation.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.